Michael, last week a jury came down with a rather astonishing decision in a so-called terrorism case involving Palestinian activists.
Last week I gave a report or an update on this case, which hadn't reached verdict. Well, now it's reached verdict, and the verdict was astonishing. And of course, the Israeli lobby, the Zionists, a whole bunch of people are celebrating this is a great victory over the Palestinian Authority and the Palestinians. The Palestinian Authority, the government of Palestine, was found liable for $218.5 million for the killing of a number of U.S. citizen civilians in Israel in 2002 to 2004. That amount of damages, $218.5 million, is trebled under the special anti-terrorism law, an anti-terrorism law passed really in part, if not specifically, so that Israelis could sue Palestinians. In any case, trebled to $655.5 million. And what I said last week applies again and again. It's the equivalent of trying the ANC in South Africa during apartheid, or the Algerians in Paris during the Algerian struggle for liberation. While the United States isn't Israel, for this purpose, it might as well be. They're tied at the hip.
Michael, is this purely a symbolic decision? There's no expectation that this money's really going to be paid, is there?
Well, I think this is very tricky, extremely tricky, for a couple of reasons. One is, to the extent there's assets of the Palestinian Authority, they may be able to get some of those, whether here or try and get that judgment in other places. I'm not sure that's their best course. Their best course is there's two sources of money for the Palestinian Authority. One comes from Israel, from the customs receipt that the Palestinians are entitled to, because it's their customs receipt for goods that pass back and forth over the border. And that's hundreds of millions of dollars that could be held up. And the U.S., maybe not known to a lot of our listeners, gives a certain amount of money. I think it's up to $400 million a year to the Palestinian Authority for its own survival. But it's certainly a big number, $100 million or something else. You're sitting here with Republican Congresses on both sides, on the Senate and the House side, and what do you think they're going to do with a judgment like this? I mean, this judgment's going to go up on appeal, we'll see what happens, etc. But here you're talking about Congress is going to be saying, why should we pay money to the Palestinian Authority if they're not paying the families of Americans killed in these attacks? And it's actually happened before, where these kind of judgments have happened, whether in the Cuba case or in the Israel case. They make deals with the lawyers for the plaintiffs, and they actually get a certain amount of money. So this is not a completely hypothetical judgment. And of course, the Israelis want to use it to say, oh, see, the Palestinian Authority is a terrorist state, they're terrorists, and whatever you're going to go against this in the International Criminal Court, they've already been labeled a terrorist by a U.S. court.
In the court proceedings that led up to this judgment, Michael, was there actual proof that the Palestinian Authority murdered people on the streets of Israel?
Completely weak. I mean, very weak. So weak as to not sustain it. I mean, they had these arguments that some of the people in prison had received, or their families had received money after the people were imprisoned, and the Palestinians imprisoned were then had been accused or convicted of some of these killings. But their families got money after the fact for support when their husbands or fathers or brothers were in prison is hardly the stuff of which liability is made. And there was the issue raised, these people were convicted by the military courts in Israel. And so the argument that the defense lawyers made, what good are these convictions? This is a completely corrupt judicial system. You know, you can't go forward with this. So there wasn't a lot of evidence at all. In fact, really, I would have to say none.
Was the defense allowed to put in evidence of the number of Palestinians who were killed by the Israelis?
Not at all, but you saw plenty of crying on the witness stand, not wrongly, by people whose loved ones had been killed. But I kept thinking to myself, in the last war in Gaza, and there's been three in the last decade, in the last war, 500 children were killed, civilian children, 500 people. Every one of those mothers, fathers of those kids could have been on that witness stand, but none ever will be in an American court.
If the Palestinians try to bring a lawsuit against the Israelis in the International Criminal Court for that massacre, you think they'll ever accomplish that?
I like to think about the Palestinian case, or the case against Palestine here in the context of all the other times we've tried to get Israel liable for what it's done, whether in Gaza, the occupied territories, or in Israel itself. And I just made a quick note. One was a case against Avi Dichter. Avi Dichter was a general responsible for dropping a one-ton bomb on a house in Gaza, killing 14 civilians. We got thrown out of court here. Second case, we represented the American citizen, Turkish young man, 19 years old, killed on the Gaza flotilla. Do you think we could get anywhere in an American court, even though he was an American citizen? Absolutely not. Zero. A third case we brought was, of course, for Rachel Corrie, the young woman killed by a Caterpillar bulldozer. We sued Caterpillar. What was the defense? The defense was not that they didn't kill her, that a bulldozer wasn't known to be used to demolish houses and create war crimes. No. The defense was that those bulldozers were exported to Israel pursuant to a U.S. license, and therefore it would be interference by the court to look into the fact of how Rachel Corrie was killed or that the bulldozers might be being used for war crimes. So you basically wind up with a big zero no matter what you do in the United States. And of course, as you said, in the International Criminal Court, we'll see now, because there is actually some push now. Palestine will become a member of the court on April 1st. There'll be papers filed in the ICC by many people we know, and we'll have to see if they have the guts to actually take on somebody besides an African dictator.
Michael, final question in this jury decision. Will it be appealed?
Yes, it will definitely be appealed. Let's hope something happens on that. But I got to tell you, we're in the, you could call it the Second Circus, but we're in the Second Circuit in the city of New York. And they already went up to try and stop the trial on a couple of issues. One was, as I talked about last time, why isn't the Palestinian Authority granted immunity like Israel is in the U.S. courts? And that's because of the 134 countries that recognize Palestine as a state. The United States does not. And therefore, in our courts, it doesn't get immunity. Israel does. They didn't really lose on that completely yet in the courts, but ultimately, I'm afraid they will.
Thanks, Michael.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so sorry for being late.
Don't worry. We have so much going on. We have other stuff to do.